Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to your place. We want to thank everyone that has contacted us in regarding to how much you enjoyed last week's show. It's our desire to bring you Jesus in a way that can help you grow in your spiritual relationship with God. Sometimes when Bill feels a word or direction to use for the show, he has a hard time finding a message already recorded. If he can't find the message to share with you, you get stuck having to listen to while Bill attempt to bring it to you as God has enlightened him. I'm being very sarcastic. With this current schedule, this is hard to do sometimes. But on this topic, it was refreshing to find over 20 sermons that have been preached on this same topic in the last few weeks, showing us that this is a message for this time of where we are all living. Wild Bill loves when this happens. He listened to all of the messages while driving it to work this past week, and he picked the one that touched him the most to share with you. It's not surprising to us that it's a pastor that we have shared with you many times. If you ever are in the Smoky Mountains, you owe it to yourself to visit the First Apostolic Church in Maryville, Tennessee. This is one of the most powerful churches that Wild Bill has visited. If you need anything from God, make one of your vacation destination, Brother Carpenter's Church. Tonight the message title is The Company We Keep. As always, you can listen to all of our shows from the archives for free. You can also download any of our shows to share for free. At the end of the show, you would like to make a comment or ask a question, just push the number 1 on your phone, and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number when I place you on the air. And now let's have a listen.
You have your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 7. Luke chapter 7. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 11. Luke chapter 7, verse number 11. Praise God. Praise God. If you're looking at it in your Bible, say amen. If you're looking at it on the screen, say amen. It means a lot of folks have their Bibles tonight, right? Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise right now. You got your Bibles tonight. You got your Bibles. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all of Judea and throughout all the region round about. Just a few moments tonight, I want to minister on the company we keep. The company we keep. Now, here's what I want to ask you to do tonight. I want to ask you to pray with me and ask God to speak to your heart tonight. Ask God to speak to you. Wouldn't you like God to speak to your heart tonight? Wouldn't you like God to speak to your heart tonight? You know, it would just be a waste of our time if we didn't come to this sacred moment and say, God, would you speak to my heart tonight? Would you speak to my heart tonight, God? So let's all pray. Let's all pray right now. Father, I ask you tonight, Lord, as the minister, I ask you as the pastor, God, to not only speak through me tonight, but God, would you speak to me tonight? Lord Jesus, we live in an age that, Lord, we need you to speak to our hearts tonight. That God, after this Bible lesson has went forth, that we will be able to say, Lord, you spoke to me tonight. Lord, you said something to my spirit tonight. Lord, I will give you the praise and the honor. We need you to speak to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Give him a hand of praise. Oh, thank you, Lord. You may be seated. The company we keep. We're going to dissect this event from chapter 7, verse 11 through 17. We're going to dissect it tonight. We're going to look at it. And I believe some spiritual truths are going to leap out of the pages of the Bible into our heart. Because you do realize tonight that my objective tonight, what I am called to do, is to tell you what God is like. Not only who he is, but what he's like, what his personality, if I could use that word, personality. But what is he like? We know he's one. We know his name, but what is he like? I believe as we dissect this tonight and look through this, we're going to begin to see what he is like. The Bible says here in verse number 11, and go back to verse number 11, that it came to pass the day after. Well, when you read that the day after, I can't read any further till I find out what happened the day before. All right. It came to pass the day after. Well, what happened the day before? Well, the day before was when the centurion had a sick servant that he sent for Jesus. And Jesus said, I will come and heal him. But the centurion said, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just speak the word only. And the servant was healed. That the day after that, he decided that he was going to this city called Nain. We find from verse number 11, Sister Carpenter, that not only was Jesus going, but we find that many of his disciples were going. Many of his disciples. These were people that had sold out, people that had made up their mind to follow Jesus. They were disciples. They wanted to learn of him. They were his disciples. But not only just his disciples went with him, but then much people. So let's break it down. We have Jesus, and then we have his disciples. We have his disciples that are there. These are people that have given up, and they have paid the price, sold out, whatever term we want to use. They made up their mind to follow Jesus, whatever the cost it may be. And then the Bible just simply says, and much people. Well, these are people that are hopefully our future disciples. These are people that hopefully, and that's what we want to have happen, right, church? We are disciples of Jesus Christ, and we want to attract many people for the purpose of also, Brother Perdue, that they will become disciples of Jesus Christ. So as we dissect this verse here, we see we have Jesus, and this is one company. We have Jesus, we have his disciples, and then we have much people. They're not a disciple yet, they haven't made up their minds yet, but they're following after disciples that are following Jesus. And they're making their way to this city called Nain. Let's go to verse 12. Now when he came nigh, Jesus came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. So let's look at these two companies, because we do have two companies of people that are meeting. One company is coming out of the city of Nain. And the other company, Jesus, his disciples, and many, much people are coming into the city. And if you can see this with me, they meet. One company is coming in, and the other company is coming out. Let's talk about the other company for a moment. The other company is being led by a dead man, all right? Now, what I mean by that, the purpose of this company was to bury a dead man. The purpose, the reason this company is coming out of the city is because a corpse needs to be buried. Behind this corpse is a mother. Behind this corpse is not only just a mother that has lost her only son, but she is also a widow. This is twice now that the icy fingers of death have reached into her life and disturbed her life. First, it was her husband. Her husband was taken. She had made that journey out of Nain to the cemetery before. First, it was her husband. But although her heart was grieving, she had a son to take care of her. She had her only son that would take care of her. But now death has reached in one more time, and death has taken this woman's only son. So we have a dead man, we have a corpse, we have a mother, a widow, and then we have much people. Now these people are following the widow and the corpse because they're simply paying their respects. They're simply showing compassion. They're simply following the widow to the cemetery to bury her dead. So if we kind of look at both companies tonight, because these are two, would you not agree with me tonight? These are two totally different companies that meet at the gate of Nain. It's totally, the difference would be this. One is led by Christ. The other is led by a corpse. One has just come from a miracle and has high expectations that they're probably going to another miracle. One has come from the finality of death and they're going to lay the body in a tomb. One has the disciples of Jesus Christ, which is none other than the bride of Christ. The other has a widow, a mother. One has much people that are in high expectation that I just may give my life and my heart to this Christ that's leading this company. The other is there just for a fleeting few hours to cry and to make their respects known. So two totally different companies there. Christ, and the corpse. Christ and the corpse. Something interesting happens in verse 13. And the Bible simply says, and when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. He said unto her, weep not. Now, I have just told you what was said, but can I share with you what's not said? It is not that the woman bumped into Christ on the way out of the city and said, hey, you're the miracle worker. Hey, I've heard that you have unstopped deaf ears. Hey, I've heard you've opened blinded eyes. I've heard you've even raised the dead. Would you do it again, Jesus? That didn't happen. We don't read where the woman spoke out. As a matter of fact, the only thing we read is that the Lord spoke out. The Lord spoke out. And the woman, the Bible first says in verse 13, Luke records it, and when the Lord saw her. It's even interesting there that Luke refers to him here as the Lord. He could have said, because he said it in other verses, Sister Carpenter, he could have said, and when he saw the woman, and when he saw her, it would have read the same, right? Not exactly. Because what Luke wants to show us is, he that hath power over death, hell, and the grave saw her. He that had the power to bring her son back to life saw her. But it doesn't stop there. And had compassion on her. And had compassion on her. Now, you got to understand something with me this evening. He had compassion on her. She hasn't asked for help. She hasn't asked for healing. She's offered no praise. She's offered no worship. It's simply two companies of people that meet at a gate. But when the Lord saw her, he is such a wonderful Lord. He is such a mighty God. Do you know that he hears us when we pray, and he hears us when we don't pray? Do you know that he cares about us when we worship, and he also cares about us when we're not worshiping? What a mighty God that we're embracing tonight. What a mighty God that we're embracing tonight. You see, if we got to believing that he only hears us when we pray, then we would begin to think that we're saved by works because it was my prayer that caused him to hear me. Oh, no, 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 no. We serve a God, and I'm not advocating us not praying. Don't go there. Don't take it to that. I want to emphasize tonight that we embrace, as a matter of fact, it ought to give you faith to pray. That if he is willing to hear you when you're not praying, how much more is he hearing us when we are praying? Right? And so this Lord saw her and had compassion on her and said unto her, "Woman, weep not." Brother Erickson, would you care to take your microphone? I've got the microphone, and I'm so sorry I'm catching you off guard. But I want you to get the Bible. We're going to do some old-fashioned, you read the Bible for me tonight, all right? Back in the day, they did this a lot. They had somebody to read the Bible for them. Go to Isaiah chapter 65, and verse number 1 and 2. And here's what I want you to think about. Think about the thought that God is watching you when you're not watching him. God cares about you when you're not caring about God. Now again, I want to preface this. I don't want you to get up, so I don't know why I'm coming to church then. That's a lot of work to come to church. If he's going to care, no, it's not that. It gives you faith in this God that we pray to, this God that we serve, this God that cares about us. Isaiah 65:1-2. Listen to God.
It says, "I am sought of them that ask not for me."
Wait a minute. I am sought. What? Say that again.
Sought of them that ask not.
You got him turned up good in the house. This ain't for my benefit. This is for these folks out here. You got him good and turned up. Is it good and turned up? Say it again.
"I am sought of them that ask not of me."
Kyle Long on the back row, can you hear? All right, you can hear. I see you back there. All right. Go ahead. This is God now.
"I am found of them that sought me not."
I am found of them that what?
Sought me not. "I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name."
That's us Gentiles. Well, what do you say? Go back to that, behold me.
Behold me, behold me.
Behold, that's twice. Anytime something is repeated twice in the Bible, it's to bring emphasis. Say it again, Brother Eric.
Behold me, behold me.
Can I say it with a little growl in it?
Behold me, behold me.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about right there.
"Unto a nation that was not called by my name."
God is saying, look at me. Yeah. Look at me. We wasn't a bunch of people down here on earth building bonfires to get deity's attention. We wasn't cutting notches out of a tree, hopefully building up rocks. If we can get the sun god, the moon god, the star god, any god, the constellations to hear us, it's a God of eternity that steps out and says, would you look at me? Would you look at me? Behold me. Behold me. I can't help but love him tonight. I can't help but magnify him tonight. He loved me before I loved him. That ought to cause you to praise him tonight. That ought to cause you to say, man, what a God we serve. What? Well, Read verse 1 and 2 again. 1 and 2 again.
I am sought of them that ask not for me.
Uh-huh.
I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people.
Oh, step right back into that now. Step right back into that now. Go right back to that term.
I have spread out my hands all the day unto rebellious people.
Oh, you know what that is, Holy Spirit? That's where some of you can come in here and justify getting your feelings hurt and justify they hurt. Hold that. You got your arms folded like this right here. You got no sour face. You look like you've been baptized in pickle juice and born on the dark side of the moon. And you pulled your lip down around your kneecaps and you're thinking about eating a can of worms tonight. You just so, I just want everybody to notice me. I've been hurt. And there's a great God that just comes down and says, would you worship me? Would you, I'm talking about hurt, and I got to watch you looking at somebody tonight. Would you worship me? Would you worship? I can do this right here because they know. Would you worship me? Would you just set me on? And he's just simply said, I've reached my hands to a rebellious generation all the day long. Would you just worship me tonight? God hasn't given up on you. God still loves you. Would you? Come on, praise him right now. Would you worship me? Would you worship me? Brother Harrison, keep your Bible and your microphone handy. But let's go back to Luke chapter 7, verse number 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. I don't know about you, but that's a strange thing to say to a woman that's bearing her child. That's a strange thing. Matter of fact, let me just tell you something. You're going in the ministry. Don't do that. Don't go in a funeral home saying, oh, I don't know why y'all crying for. We got the resurrection, bless God. Don't do that. That don't work. Well, Jesus said, don't weep not. The newsflash, you ain't Jesus. And unless you're getting ready to speak to the dead and raise them from that casket, it'd just be good to get on Paul's gospel and rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. But oh, it was strange on that day when he came and simply said, weep not, stop your crying. Weep not, stop crying. Matter of fact, this is not the only time he said this. When Jairus' 12-year-old daughter was laying as a corpse on the bed, what did he walk in the house and tell everybody? Weep not. Matter of fact, that's not the last time he said it either. He's got a cross on his back. He's headed up to Calvary to give his life for you and I. And women are just boo-hooing along the way, and they're crying along the way. And he stopped long enough, looked through probably two black eyes, busted lip, spit, plucked beard and all that. He looked and he said these words, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Can I tell you, when you're God, you can step into a situation that's got you all tore up, and you can just simply say, the first thing I want to tell you, stop weeping. The Lord is here. God is here. Adonai is here. The one that controls it all. Weep. Weep not. Let's go to verse 14. And he came and touched the bier. That's kind of like a stretcher, a board that the boy laid on. He came and he touched it. And they that bare him stood still. You know, Lord help me articulate this the way that I studied it today. Some of you need to stop moving toward the graveyard in your life. Some of you have given up on what God's able to do. You have given up on what God is able to do in your life. You got it on the casket, and you're going out to bury it. But Jesus steps in, not invited. He simply steps in and touches that stretcher and stops them. They stopped. You know, it's just time that we need to stop. We just need to stop the progress of negative spirits. We need to stop it. And he reached out and he stopped. Matter of fact, we're told in Exodus, I'll tell you what we're told. So you don't know what an impossible situation I'm in. Brother Erickson, get ready to read Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 13. Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 13. Let me tell you a possibility. You're standing at a Red Sea. You don't know that the Red Sea splits, and it's easy for us to sit there and say, I know what happens. They didn't know what was going to happen. They had the Red Sea in front of them, Brother Pinton, and Pharaoh, mad as can be, behind them. And they didn't know what was going to happen. So God, would you tell me right now what you want me to do in this impossible? Anybody got an impossible situation tonight that you wouldn't care just to wave your hand right now? Just wave your hand. Impossible. Sure. It's possible. Impossible. All right. God, what are you going to tell them in this impossible situation?
And Moses said unto his people, fear ye not.
Fear ye not.
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day.
Fear not.
Stand still.
Fear not.
Stand still.
And
see the salvation of the Lord.
It sounds like to me that if we keep on moving, we're going to miss what God wants to do.
My God.
He first stepped out and he said, wait a minute. Yeah. You just stop this right here. I know you're going to a burial, but I am the resurrection and I am the life. Would you just stop right here? Can I just preach to you tonight? Look past Kenny Carper tonight. Look past your pastor of 39 years tonight. There is a God that wants to intersect you on the way to burying whatever you're going to bury, and just simply say, stand still, and you're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Would you just stand right here and see my salvation? It's not the only time that's recorded in the Bible. There was a massive army that had come out to throw out Jehoshaphat and the children of Israel out of their promised land. There was a massive armies that have a confederation of nations that had come to cast the children of Israel out of their promised land. Brother Erickson, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And verse number 17, you see, this is why we've got the Bible. Oh, how I want to help all of us tonight that we are not left without hope. If Jesus would help this widow woman that didn't ask for a resurrection, how much more would he help you and I tonight that know his power, that know his name, that are walking uprightly? But how much more would God help us? Brother Erickson, read tonight, my good friend.
Ye shall not need to fight in this battle.
Oh, yes.
Set yourselves.
Set yourselves.
And stand still.
Stand still.
And see the salvation of the Lord with you.
Set yourselves. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. Let's say that together, all right? Set yourselves. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. And both of these verses tonight, both of these verses tonight ended in victory, and yours will too if we will stand still and look for the salvation of our God. He's never failed us. He's never forsaken us. His word is so true tonight. He will be that God. Now, Brother Erickson, I want you to read Psalms. A little bit different in this. Psalms 46. Verse number 1, just start reading and just read till I interrupt you or tell you, let's go to another verse. Psalms 46, verse 1. Listen closely, church. It
says, God is my refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
All right, let's say amen.
Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God.
Look at it, church. Go ahead.
The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
Yes.
God is in the midst of her.
Where?
In the midst of her.
Where? Where's God at? Where's God at tonight? tonight in your life? Is it not Christ in you? The hope of glory? Those of you that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you've got more than just a little trinket when you spoke in another tongue. You've got God in you. You don't know how big my trial is. Your trial's not bigger than God. You don't know what I'm facing. It's not bigger than my God. Go ahead, Brother Eric.
God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved.
She shall not be moved.
God shall help her.
Yes.
In that right early.
Yes.
The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved.
Oh, what are the heathen doing?
They're raging.
What?
They're raging.
Yeah, that's what we got going on in this world right now. That's all the disorder we got going on in this world right now. It's because the heathen are raging. Go ahead, Brother.
And the kingdoms were moved.
Uh-huh.
He uttered his voice and the earth melted.
Yes.
The Lord of hosts is with us and the God of Jacob is our refuge,
yes.
Selah.
Yes, go ahead.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth.
Oh, yes.
He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth.
He does what now?
Maketh wars to cease unto the
powerful?
End.
He's that powerful. How powerful is he? Say it again, Brother Eric.
Maketh wars to cease.
How powerful is he?
Maketh wars to cease.
Oh, Putin. Oh, Ukraine, Russia. Can I tell you, when God gets ready, God can step right in the midst of that and say, Mr. Putin, go back to Russia, and y'all go back to your homeland. God, listen, God is not out of control. He makes wars to cease. Go ahead, Brother.
He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder.
Uh-huh.
He burneth the chariots in the fire.
Yes.
Be still and know that I am God.
Wait. It changes here. It was be still, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. It changes here. It says,
be still and know that I am God.
Be still and do what?
Know that I am God.
Know that I'm God. Before you ever see God moving, you got to know God's moving. That's how God works. God doesn't show you and then you believe. You got to believe and then God shows you. You can't be, well, if God will make a way, I'll believe him and I'll praise him. Oh, you got to dance in the middle of your trial. You got to dance in the middle of your chaos. You got to come to church when everything is falling apart. You got to keep on coming to church. You got to keep on coming to church when you get the lousy news today. You got to keep on praying for your children when they called you on the way to church and said, I'm going to check myself in a rehab. You got to keep on coming and keep on coming. You got, because you'll never see it till you know it. You got to know it on the inside. I know God's going to bring us out. I know we're going to have victory. Listen, church. Listen, First Apostolic Church. We are on the eve of a massive revival. We're on the eve of a massive revival. We're on the eve of a massive explosion of what God is going to do. Come on, Brother Anson.
Be still and know that I am God.
Say it again.
Be still and know that I am God.
Be still and know that I'm God. Read on.
I'll be exalted among the heathen.
I'm going to be exalted among the heathen.
I'll be exalted in the earth.
Wait a minute. The heathen was one of those that were doing the raging. You remember? We ain't read too many verses. What are the heathen doing? But what did God say he was going to do? I'll be exalted among the heathen. Because after all, isn't that really what you and I live for? Don't we live our lives so that people can see Jesus Christ in us? We're not living our lives for a comfort zone. I'm not this little old poor, bless me, Jesus. Bless us four and no more. We don't pray this way, God, I'm Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme. We don't do that, friend. We live our lives to say, God, whatever you want me to go through, if it'll bring glory to your name, sign me up. If it will bring glory to your names, I'm going to tell you, you'll come out of your dilemma quicker than you think you are. If you'll live and say, God, just get glory out of it. God, just get glory out of this sickness. God, I've got cancer. God, just get glory out of it. God, think that God, just get glory. That's all I care about, God. Yeah. I'll read a little bit. Read verse number 11 again. Oh, yes, yes.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
Yes, is there another verse? Yes.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah.
Is there a verse 12 to that? If there are not, they ought to be. That's it. Mighty God, be still and know I wish you'd point to your head. Be still and know that I, some folks, their lives get out of sync. I think I'll just move off. I'll just go somewhere else. You know how ridiculous that is? That's like being diagnosed with cancer in Tennessee and say, I'm just going to move to Florida. You still got your cancer in Florida. Why don't you just be still and start knowing that he is God? You see, go back to Luke 7:14. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you feel the presence of the Lord? Does anybody here tonight feel like this message is for you tonight? Oh, yes, Lord. Let's just take a moment. I'm not done, but let's just take a moment and worship him right now. Let's just take a moment. If you feel like God's speaking to you tonight, oh, would you just worship him right now? Would you just worship him right now? Come on, praise him right now. Oh, don't... I would that everybody in this room would praise him right now. As a matter of fact, if you don't have enough faith to praise him right now, you're not going to come out of your dilemma. You might as well buy you a property and stay right where you're at, because you're going to be miserable all until you get faith to worship him. I love you. Verse 14. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. Listen to this, please. He spoke to the dead boy, not about his condition of being dead. He spoke to the dead boy. Not about his condition of being dead. He didn't walk around him, Brother Orr, and say, he's dead. He had a sickness for years. He suffered for a long time. He didn't talk about his dead condition. I think sometimes we talk about the dead condition too long. He spoke to the dead boy, not about his condition. The first thing... I want you to notice something with me. He said seven words. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. Isn't it interesting? The first thing this boy did when he was resurrected is start talking. Oh, how I wish Luke had recorded it. What did he say? I only can surmise what he said. But he began to speak. Speech is such an important thing in our walk with God. Speech is such an important thing. Brother Erickson, would you get me Proverbs 18 and 21? Speech is such an important thing in your walk with God. Speech is such an important thing in your success in life. Speech, what you say. What's coming out of your mouth? Because whatever's coming out of your mouth first came out of your heart. If you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, you can. So, Brother Erickson, read for me.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
What now?
Death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Are y'all seeing this? What's in the power of the tongue?
Death and life.
Death and life are in the what? Go ahead and read on, brother.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You need to start talking until you grow some fruit in your life. If you're tired of sucking on lemons, start speaking some cantaloupe in your life. If you're tired of the bitter onions and leeks of Egypt, start talking about, I'm on my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way to the promised land. I'm on my way to healing. I'm on my way to heal. Say, you're just trying to hype us up. No, I'm not trying to hype you up. If you're sick here tonight with an incurable disease, you have two options. Two things are going to happen to you. You're either going to get a temporary healing, or you're going to get your ultimate healing. But either way, you're going to be a winner. Either way, you're going to be a winner. And so instead of talking about how sick you are, instead of talking about how you'd like to do this and like to do that, why don't you start talking about He is Jehovah Rapha, He's my healer, He's a way maker. He said He would never leave me nor ever forsake me. My emotions tell me that God has forsaken me, but my scripture tells me that He's never left my side. My emotions will play with me. That's why you got to get your nose in the book. That's why you got to understand He's a God that'll come to you when you didn't even ask for Him. He's a God that'll come to you. Oh, let me hurry. Could we just worship Him one more time? Could we just worship Him one more time? Hallelujah. The power of death and life are in tongue. The power of death and life are in the tongue. I'm telling you tonight, some of you need to put some things to death in your life. Let's just choose one. Let's just choose one. Uncontrollable rage. People will say, well, he lost his temper. I choose to say he found his temper. All right. See, if I was been allowed to write a proverb, it would have went like this right here. Life is like a tube of toothpaste. When you squeeze it on the outside, what's on the inside comes out. That's life. You are who you are when you get squeezed. It determines what you've allowed to be in your heart. But you're here tonight, and you have that inside of you, rage. You have that when something happens, you just lose it. I'm going to tell you, you need to start talking to it tonight. And you say, listen, Mr. Temper, you've made a buffoon out of me long enough. Let me tell you something, Mr. Temper. You have caused me to have to say I'm sorry your last time. I'm going to tell you something, Mr. Temper. It's a last time. I'm putting you to death right now. The joy of the Lord is going to start coming out of my life. I'm going to, listen, Mr. Temper, you're leaving right now. You got to talk to it. You got to talk to whatever it is that keeps pulling you down. You got to talk to it. Don't talk about it. Talk to it. Talk directly to it. Talk directly to it. You're never going to have victory if you don't. The power of death and life are in the tongue. You can't have life until you put some things to death. How many of you have got some things in your life that you would like to preach the funeral of it right now here tonight? You've made a buffoon out of me long enough, and I'm putting you to death right here, right now. I'm going to be a spirit-filled, joyful child of the Most High God. I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to be a friend to the friendless. I'm going to be all of these things tonight. Power of death and life are in the tongue. There are things tonight that you need to curse. Jesus cursed a fig tree that distracted them from doing the will of God. He cursed the fig tree, and the Bible said the fig tree dried up from the roots. The dried up from the roots. You need to address things in your life. You say, well, Brother Carpenter, you've got me treed tonight. I do have anger issues. And when this happens to me, this anger comes out. Can I tell you something? You need to go to the root of your anger. You need to go to the root of your anger. The root of your anger is not what happened 20 minutes ago. It could be what happened 20 years ago. That you've not properly put it under the blood and ask God to help you. Well, I just feel frustrated. As a young man, my dad left home, or my mother left home. I just feel like, I was passed around and all of this. There's people that are, they're simply walking time bombs because of something that happened years ago. You've got to identify the roots. I can't identify. I don't have enough time here tonight. I barely have enough time for my lesson. But you've got to really take this home tonight and find out, okay, what roots do I need to curse? What person, they may be in the grave, what person do I need to forgive? What person do I need to release tonight? Jesus cursed the fig tree from the roots. Let me go on tonight. Brother Erickson, read Romans 4 and verse 17. And this is talking about God. Romans chapter 4 and verse number 17. Listen to how God does this. Romans 4:17.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations.
Okay, God is speaking. God is speaking. Brother Nolan, would you just run up here real quick, real quick? And how many like to say happy birthday to Brother Nolan?
Yeah.
Amen, amen. How many like to say happy birthday to Sister Flannery? Man, I'm going to tell you something. Whenever they have kids, if we could plan it on April 18th, it would work out. I mean, it would just work out. This is God. Now, I'd be God tonight. This is Abraham. Now, listen to it. Listen.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations.
Now, wait a minute. I've made you a father of many nations. You're an elderly man that have never, you and your wife have never had children. But listen, what does God tell him?
I've made thee a father of many nations.
I made you a father of many nations. I know who you are. But get your mind off who you are. Get your mind off what I'm going to make you. I know who you are. You know who you are tonight. But in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, get your mind off of who you are and get it on the God that was going to make you. Read it again, Brother Erickson.
As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations.
I have made you, God says, I have made you a father of many nations.
Before him who he believed.
Before him whom he believed.
Even God.
Even God.
Who quickened the dead.
God who quickens the dead, brings the dead back to life.
And calleth those things which be not as though they were.
What does God do?
He calleth those things which be not as though they were.
What does God do?
Calleth those things.
You know, God already has you out. He's just waiting on you to believe him. He already has you blessed. He already has you victorious. He already has you out of your situation. He's already got you delivered. He's already got your feet set. He's already got you in all these. But you know what? I don't know why it's not happening. I'll tell you why it's not. A lack of faith in what's happening right now tonight. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God uses what I've been doing for the last 40 minutes to say, I believe that. I believe God can bring me out. There's no addiction he cannot break. There's no situation he cannot put together. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Stand with me tonight. Stay up here with me, Brother Nolan. Read it one more time, Brother Erickson. One more time. That the end of that verse.
And calleth those things which be not.
And calleth those things which be not. They're not there.
As though they were.
As though they were. He looks at Abram, and he says, you're a father of many nations. And God already saw it. Oh, what does God think? Oh, what does God see in you tonight? Folks, let's don't live beneath our spiritual privilege in God. Come on now. Come on now. Let's don't live beneath our spiritual privilege with God. What has God made of us? What has God said he's going to do with you and with me and with us? Who would have ever thought, Sister Arwood? Who would have ever thought, Brother Jeff, when your mom and dad started that small little work over on McGinley Street, that this church would one day be a global shaking church? Who'd ever thought? I can tell you the one that knew it then. God. God knew it then. God, why'd you do this? The widow woman didn't ask for you. Why'd you do it, God? And I close with the last two verses of the reason that he did it. Luke 7, 16 and 17. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. Can I tell you something? Which company are you traveling with tonight? The corpse or Christ? Where are you heading to tonight? Our next miracle is around the corner. Where's the graveyard? It's right over there. Where are you heading to tonight? I'm just a widow woman, and I don't even know what the future holds for me. My husband's been dead, and now my son's now dead. I don't even know what tomorrow. Or are you the bride of Christ? When you see these things come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Which group are you running with tonight? I'm running with the winners. I'm running with the shouters. I'm running with those overcomers. That's who I'm running with. That's the company I'm running with. Just lift up your hands right now tonight. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, I pray over this congregation. God, I pray that we identify the roots of our problems and that, God, our lives would begin to turn around. Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, I pray, God, that you would move in a mighty way. God, let this that you've spoke to our hearts tonight, Lord Jesus, let it become the igniter. God, my life is turning around. Oh, Christ, I love you. Oh, resurrection, I love you. Oh, God, if you would pay attention to me when I've not even asked for you, how much more right now that I'm lifting up my voice and I'm lifting up my hands to you right now. Oh, mighty God, come on, let's just worship him for a moment. Come on, let's just worship him for a few moments tonight. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Speak to us tonight, Lord Jesus. You are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Oh, you have all power in heaven and earth. God, there's no weapon formed against us that will prosper. Lord, my miracle could be in the morning, God. Lord, my healing, my deliverance, God, could be in the morning, God. Lord, I love you tonight. Come on, praise him like you mean it. Come on, praise him like you have it tonight. I praise you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I magnify you, Lord.
Top Mom.
I'm so glad to be here tonight and to hear the wonderful message and to get to be a part of the program because I've sort of had a miracle to be able to be here. So I sure want to say, praise God, he's a miracle worker. And I love y'all so much. Appreciate the effort you put into the program each week. And Brother Carpenter has, he's just one of the most dynamic preachers I've ever heard. And he brought out, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most needed messages that we have to repeat to ourselves. Some of the people that have influenced me so greatly in my life are people that they aren't just saying pretty things, but they're praising God. And whatever the situation is, they're my pastor that was here, she's deceased now, but Sister Holland, she could put a word into a situation, and it was amazing. It balanced everything out. And she taught and impressed upon all of us, teachers especially, or anyone that was in the pulpit, never, ever go to lead a service or in a testimony or anything and exalt the enemy. I mean, that's our flesh, because our power is in praising God, believing God. And that, I just love this. All of us need to hear it, especially at certain seasons of our life. You know, when people have always said, age is just a number. Well, I'm 83, and it is a number. But it has some of other things you have to think about. And I always go to Sarah. You know, she was 90 at the very beginning of the whole situation of receiving the promises of God. And I'm believing God that, and praising God, and I love it when he will move upon me when I just sing a little chorus to him, and I feel his presence. Not that he's not always with us, but for us to feel his presence, just like we can feel negativity, we can feel the negative of everything. We can also feel victory in Jesus, our Savior forever. And I just wound up here, so I'm going to be quiet a moment. And hopefully while Bill is with us, and several people said they might listen if it wasn't too late. And So you want to give anybody a chance to press 1 on their phone?
Yes. If you want to make a comment or ask a question, just push the number 1 on your phone, and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. Well, we have 2672. How are you?
I'm fine. I listened because Miss Bobby invited me, and it was very uplifting. It reminded me about my words, how I speak, and because I know that sometimes I get kind of, you know, downcast or whatever, and it just reminded me, I needed to be reminded to, you know, to speak life and to just, you know, speak things that are not as if they were, and, you know, I feel like I can hang in there now. I mean, good reminder. It was a very good reminder. I enjoyed it. Thank you for inviting.
I'm so glad you called in. This lady is an author, and she's written a book that I bought, I think, 10 of them, and I love sharing them with people because talk about positive and praise. It's just every page of it exalts the Word of God and exalts the Lord. So thank you, Miss Millie, for just calling in tonight, and that makes me very, I love the response that you just made too, so thank you.
I've enjoyed it. I have more of the books. I need to have, oh goodness, I've been giving them out because I had some at work, and they had them put in a place that they were getting real dusty, so I set some on my station, and I just gave some of them to some people when they came in. So I've got a whole bunch of them. I'll give you some next time I see you, if you want. I really enjoyed the message. It was very good, very, very good, very needed. I needed to hear all that.
Yep, I do too. I know exactly where you're coming from, but it's so easy to slip into.
It is. I have been feeling a lot better actually the last few days, and that was a perfect word in time for the things that I've been dealing with, and so my daughter has been saying it for weeks now. Watch what you say, Mama. Watch what you say.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, it is good. And, you know, subject, actually, I'll tell you about it later. She's just been great. Having her around has been great. She's in such a good place, and I'm just very, very fortunate to be able to spend time with her. So,
well, I'm excited about tomorrow night. I want y'all to.
Yeah, now I've already, listen, I did tell her about tomorrow night, and I said I wanted her to go with me, and she said she'd pray about it.
All right. Well, we'll pray with her, and she'll be
yeah.
there.
Oh,
I can't
That's
wait.
Right.
That's wonderful. So good.
Well, I thank you for inviting me. I needed to do that. I need to work on that other thing too. So I'm gonna I don't know what to do now. Are we on the air? Okay.
Yes, this will be in the archives also forever.
Okay.
And if you want to go back and listen to the sermon or anything that's been said.
Well, I would love to share it with
others.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, my son and his wife do this program, and they really seek the face of God for what they blessed me to allow me to do the woolly worm one chapter at a time, and I thoroughly enjoyed that, and that's in the archives, and I could add, you know, an addendum if I wanted to, and it's wonderful.
All right.
So anytime you get something in your heart, well, just, you know, just a great place to share it.
Yeah. How often is the blog?
Every Tuesday.
Okay.
Mhm.
And it always starts at the same time, 9:00.
Right.
Okay.
And that's sort of late.
Okay. I want a calendar. That's all. Me do it, and it'll let me do it. Repeat every week. Okay. There we go.
And then the archive is available. You can look it back up, and it'll show you how when you go to the. It's Your Place, is the name of the program, and while Bill or my daughter-in-law Starla will tell you more about that. Wild Bill is not wild, but that's the name he gave.
That's fun.
He gave himself in there. So,
okay.
We'll turn it back over to them when you get through, and then let them explain it to you.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
All righty. You've got a great testimony yourself, and I love it when I run into you.
I do too. Yeah, I say you're my angel.
And maybe another time we'll tell more about your book also. We'll, you know, set a time. Wild Bill is really, and both of them are really talented, gifted, and anointed to put in a program where we just share. You know, just as God lays it on our heart, we just talk about subjects, and we can, you know, bring out how you received direction to do the book. I was the private school that I'm helping in right now. The lady brought me; she had a copy of your book and said she had known you. Yeah, Miss Judy Fontan. I think that's how you say her. Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah, I know her. She had a copy of it.
Yep, she sure did. And of course, I keep one usually where I can share it with someone. And so if I need some more, I ordered some of mine. And people don't read a lot, but they are reading. I mean, people do still like to read, have their own book. And you know, I think that's a blessing to give to people. So thank you for sharing with me.
I like to share it, but I don't share it a whole lot, only because, you know, basically when I did the book, I just did it so I wouldn't lose my poems, because I was afraid I would lose my notebook.
Well, it worked. I'm going to get you to help me write. I'm going to do a book for a little lady, that little elderly lady, and I'll talk to you more about it later.
Okay. Judy?
Yeah.
She was my twirling teacher when I was like 5.
Yeah, she shared some of that. Those experiences are amazing. Well, I think my son can come on at some given time, and because he's on the road. So let's turn it back over to Sister Starla and then see if he's ready, okay? All right. Love you.
Love you, too.
Y'all was having so much fun, we didn't want to interrupt.
There he is. All right. I'm sorry.
We just get talking and don't shut up.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed the show. And I always try to, if y'all friend me on Facebook or also have a Your Place page on Facebook, I try to share links to the radio show. And then
okay,
I usually always send Sister Lively a link that she can share with you to
I
the shows.
Facebook. Yeah, I have Facebook.
Okay.
Who do I send the request?
You can go to Your Place. It's YOUR-PLACE. And I usually have the links posted there. And then once you actually get to the page the first time, you can go back and look and just go to the archives of the Your Place show, and it's blogtalkradio.com. And it's a pretty good outlet.
Okay.
Matter of fact, we did Sister Lively's book. We actually did her audio. We did an audio version of her book over several weeks that she did on the show. So it was one of those things
okay.
that was a lot of fun to do that. And we'd be willing to do something like that with you also. So if you wanted
so
to read it out
place,
and let people, your
is
place,
it your,
huh?
Is it? It says.
It's not my place. It's your place.
Your place.
Yeah,
what else? I can't find it on Facebook. Let's see.
You got to put a hyphen in between your and place. So.
Is it a lot? Is it capital place? Capital.
No, it should just be. I mean, usually it just comes right up. But if not,
your place church.
It may show up as a church. So.
Let's see.
But anyway, I'll be sure to send Mom a link, and then she can share it with you, and it'll take you right to the website.
Okay.
And so you can be able to do it that way, too. But, yeah, this message tonight was one of those that was very encouraging for me for several reasons. One, as Starla shared at the beginning of the show, I was shocked to find that there was about 20 preachers that in the last 2 or 3 weeks have all preached a message of the same type. You know, and the Bible says that from the abundance of the heart, we speak. It comes out, like you said about the toothpaste tube. And so if we're inside, we're thinking, I've got defeat, I don't have victory, you know, I don't have overcoming power. If I get to just, you know, living in that, I'm not going to get my healing. You know, why am I not getting my healing? You know, someone's hurt my feelings. You know, why do I even go to church? You know, preacher, every time I go, he's preaching right at me. It seems like I'm being picked on. All those things, if we get to just dwelling on those things, and it's a choice. And that's one of the first things that we have to realize. It's our choice to decide if we're going to live there or not. But when we start living and walking and talking in victory, as he said, you know, speak of things as thoughts as though they are. You know, we're not God, but we are to be like God, and we're to understand and learn from the things he did. When we speak faith, and it activates faith, and then we actually believe what we're saying. Sometimes I'm one of those people, it drives my wife nuts, but songs that repeat themselves, like God's Not Dead, I love it. Because somewhere about the 20th time that you say God's not dead, all of a sudden something starts churning inside of it. Yeah, God's not dead. Why am I not talking to him? Why do I feel like I need to go to everybody else and tell them all the bad things that's going on and why I don't the things I don't understand? Why am I not just telling God, Lord, I don't understand. I need your help. I need your direction. Lord, order my steps. And part of that whole process, I think the reason we don't want to do that is because usually every time God's going to tell us to do something like stand still, or he's going to say consecrate, or he's going to say show me what it is that's in your life. Let me see your praise. Don't just say, well, you know, I think we ought to praise God. No. Like Blog Talk Mom was talking about, she gets up in the middle of the night and she just feels sometimes just to sing, you know, praises to God. And he's sitting there and he's like, I love those things. That's what I want you to do, you know. I inhabit your praise. I'll make a dwelling place in your home and in your life whenever you praise me like that. And so when we get to walking in victory and talking in victory, then guess what? We're going to have victory. And like you said, Paul said it, if I live, it's gain, but or if I die, it's even more. I got that backwards. He said, how's that blocked up, Mom?
I live is Christ, and if I die, it's gain.
Yeah,
wow.
I knew I had something backwards there. But when you get that mindset that we can't lose because what we have here is not eternal, and we're looking for something eternal. And I think sometimes we look at that where he says, I come to give you life and life more abundant as here. I should have 2 Cadillacs, an Escalade, you know. I should be able to have a Lincoln Town Car. I shouldn't have to work. I should just have money. People just handing me money, hand over fist. No, that's not how it works. We got to get that in our understanding of who he is, because the one thing that he expects from all of us is to be a conduit of his love. He shows love to us, and then we're to show his love to other people. And then when we do that, God blesses us. That power of the blessing that Nona Freeman has, if you never read that book, that's a good book to read, because it talks about how you can bless others, and in return, God blesses you. He brings it back. You can never, never outgive God. I have found that to be true all my life. And I've found that God will make a way when it seems like there's no way. I can't tell you how many times that we haven't had enough income to cover our bills, but our bills are paid. And you know what? We paid our tithes. And I'm not saying that bragging. I'm just saying that we put God first, paid our tithes, and then God made a way so that the bills were met. And that's the kind of God that we serve. So if y'all got anything else you'd like to add right now, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to you guys. And hope everybody has a blessed night.
Thanks.
I'm so thankful that you did this, Wild Bill. You really followed the leading of the Lord, for sure. And I love Millie for joining us tonight. And Sister Starla, always, she's just my prayer partner, my go-to person, and most wonderful dog ever.
Yeah.
So we've had fun.
Got me all pumped up. I might actually get up and finish cleaning the house.
Oh, all right.
You can't just say it now. You got to do it. So.
Well, I might do it tomorrow.
I got you.
Maybe not tonight. I better watch what I say. I'll be expected.
That's right.
My husband's at work, and so it's just me and Mama here tonight. My son and my daughter both live here right now, but my son went, I guess he went to a friend of his house, and then my daughter is at a friend of her house, and she's watching her children for, because she's studying for final exams this week, and not my daughter, but the friend, and so she needed help with her children, so Sarah's doing that tonight. But it has been an adjustment, you know, having so many people in the house at one time.
I hear what you're saying, and I think life is always an adjustment, and it's for our good. It really, like you said,
definitely. More comfort having my two youngest children in this house, even though they're not children anymore, and that, you know, Sarah is a kind of a half-to situation. Eddie is looking about getting him a house of his own. So and they're so good to me. And so I feel very thankful to have them, you know. And of course my mother's here too, so she cooks all the time, so I don't cook very much, but I do like to cook. I do like to cook, but I just don't.
Well, you work, though. I mean, you do have a...
You know, and with those problems that I was having, they're better now. I had a back issue from traveling, but it calmed back down and everything's good, and I've got to go see another doctor next week, but I don't expect that to be anything that they may keep an eye on it or something, but it's not
when you be at our, I guess we'll have pizza tomorrow night, I'm not sure. But anyway, when we get together, then next week when you get on the program, you can talk about how good the pizza was, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Because I like pizza. The eating girl. I also like raw.
Sometimes.
Because,
what?
No, go ahead. Sometimes what?
The desserts, too, are super, super good. Really good. But I think
I might ought to bring something. I might ought to bring. No.
Yeah, you do. You need to bring you. But that's the main thing. But, well, I guess in case there's somebody else that might want to speak up, well, we're going to turn it back to Sister Starla, and then I'll talk to you some more tomorrow night.
Okay.
All right. Sister Starla, are you available?
I am available. And if anybody would like to say something, just push the number 1 on your phone, and I'll identify you by the last 4 digits of your phone number. Love Talk Mom, it's all yours.
Well, Sister Cheryl was going to, she listened, but her, with Sister Bullock and different ones, it's hard for her to talk, you know, late at night. But she really enjoys the program. And I'm so thankful and grateful for y'all for praying for me during this little allergy situation I have had dealt with. And sometimes I think it's so beautiful how God will let someone call right at a time. Maybe you're going to – I maybe was thinking negatively. You know, I wasn't feeling well or whatever. And then look, in my phone, I'm getting a call from my daughter-in-law who is so prayerful. And I really appreciate it. And then today I got a beautiful text from my daughter. And we do make an impact on each other, all of us, all throughout, everyone that's listening, to realize that when we speak, we can, like the Bible says, we can speak life. We can portray what God has said, not what we think or what. And a situation came up today, and someone called and or texted me, rather, about some negative things that were on the news. And it had an impact. It really impacted my thinking. And I thought, wow, this is amazing, because I don't usually think this way. And but so I Googled it to find out more information. And everything that I listened to was so negative. It was worded in a way that and I don't listen to that. I don't, that's not the news and all that thing. That's just not my direction at all. But then to have this program, that it was just like a tapestry that showed we've got to be aware that the enemy knows how to pull us down. He knows how to use everything in our life and to let us speak fear and doubt and unbelief. But we have, you know, like while Bill was saying, just that I think that's really interesting too, because the new generation, the last generation, they will say like one phrase a long time. And it's sort of amusing. I hear elders especially, I don't know why I say elder like I'm so young, but I think we have to hear it and hear it and hear it. There's victory, victory, victory. And there's a couple of them they do at our church that I think our music is some of the most anointed I've ever heard. And it seems like it starts off the word, you know, that they're saying, and it blesses you. And then, as, you know, Brother Carpenter did, say it again, you know, say it again. He had the other minister or whoever it was to repeat it. And if you notice, you hear it, and then you hear it with a different sort of a depth to it. And then it's even deeper. And so God uses a lot of illustrations about sowing seed and working the ground. And like, I mean, this is good. This was no wonder why Bill heard so many other ministers speaking on it, because this needs, all of us need, it's wonderful. And I do appreciate it. And I love you. And I'm through. If everybody is through, then we can all go to night night.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Blog Talk Mom and Wild Bill. We want to thank our listeners for being with us this week, and we'll see you back here next week at your place. Good night.